Welcome to an Impact Ministries production, brought to you by Impact Ministries World Changers, changing the way the world sees God. Learn how you can become a world changer today by visiting www.impactministries.com. Now, here's your host, founder of Impact Ministries and developer of Heart Physics, the self-development programs that have changed thousands of lives around the world, Dr. Jim Richards.
You know, this week is the last of our broadcast in this series on the gospel of the kingdom. And today we're talking about what I think is one of the most interesting aspects of this, and that is the keys of the kingdom. And I tell you, this message is going to talk to you about the keys that Jesus has given to believers that open the doors, that bind and loose, that make things happen within the kingdom. And this message is essential and understanding how everything works in the kingdom. That's what the parables of the kingdom were, is to teach us how the kingdom of God really, really worked. Listen, this message in its entirety can be seen at impactministries.com, or you can go to my podcast. The entire series can be seen there. We want you to get every bit of this, and we especially want you to get the entire series because we're covering so many things in the entire series that we just can't cover in this program. Listen, send an email, send a Facebook message, get everybody ready for the keys of the kingdom. In this new 6-CD series, The Gospel of the Kingdom, you're going to understand how to bring all the other doctrine you know together under one concept, and that is the kingdom. Because it's only as we understand the kingdom of God that we understand all of the other doctrines that are written in the epistles. And especially, you're going to learn about the keys of the kingdom. The keys of the kingdom are what makes it possible for us to open, close doors, bind and loose, make things happen so that we can function in the realm of the kingdom. Get it today. Today we're talking about the keys of the kingdom. And so there's a lot of background that I've got to give you, and we'll never get it all in this broadcast, but I'm going to give you as much as I can. You see, when we talked about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, I can remember years ago hearing people talk about the kingdom of heaven as if that was Jesus referring to how to get into heaven. And man, I'm telling you, this is probably how some of these people have come up with this bizarre doctrine that you can't listen to Jesus teaching because he was a teacher of the law and he was teaching Jews. Well, I know people mean well when they say that, but they're just incorrect about it, because Jesus was a teacher and a preacher of the kingdom of God, and he was teaching people how to function in the kingdom of God. It's impossible that when Jesus talked about the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God, that he was talking about where we went after we died. It's impossible that he was talking about our eternal salvation. If the kingdom of heaven is about our eternal salvation, then Jesus was preaching salvation by works, and we absolutely know that that is not the case. That is not what he was trying to do. So we talked about it before, but what is the kingdom? Well, the kingdom of God is an internal realm that we enter into by faith, wherein we are yielded to the lordship of Jesus, and we operate by the laws of the kingdom and enjoy all of the provision of the kingdom. Now, many Jewish writers and Jewish scholars tell us that the kingdom of God represents this realm that we enter into, but the kingdom of heaven represents the provisions that are available to us in that realm. And so however you look at it, the kingdom of God, we enter in through our heart. It's the realm we enter into with the resources of God, and this kingdom operates by laws. And this is not legalism. This is not talking about earning. Actually, this is talking about if you drive down the road and you're supposed to drive on the right side of the road, that's a law. That way everybody's going one direction is going to avoid hitting the people that's coming from the other direction. But if you don't stay within the bounds of that law, you can't function the way you should, and you have an accident. Now, that accident isn't a penalty that is brought on to you by some greater force. It is just the consequences of sowing and reaping. It's the consequencing of violating a law. And that's the way the kingdom of God is. There are laws that govern the kingdom of God that make it possible for us to participate in all of the resources of the kingdom of God. Now, one of the things that Jesus taught in Matthew 11 is kind of interesting. Jesus, in Matthew chapter 11, he starts talking about violent type people who try to take the kingdom by force. Now, as a matter of fact, let me just read this to you. Matthew 11:12 says, "And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force." Now, I don't know about you, but there was a time in my life where the circles that I moved in, they taught us that we had to use our faith to create force. We had to violently take the kingdom of God. We had to go in and fight and do all these things to take the kingdom of God. Well, in reality, that's not what that scripture is saying. That scripture is saying something more along the lines that violent-natured people, or people who thought violence was a godly way to do something, tried to take the kingdom by force. And really, if you read on through Matthew chapter 11, which is one long sermon, then he starts talking about, he says, you know, you're like children that I play music for you, and I play you a sad song and you won't cry, I play you a fast song and you won't dance. And he's talking about the whole issues that people have with receiving what God is offering to them. And so he starts out talking about these forceful, violent people who think force is the way to take God's kingdom. But then he ends this whole thing by making a comparison between his doctrine and the doctrine of the legalist. In Matthew chapter 11, it says in verse 28, everybody knows this. It says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." Man, I love the way the Message Bible says it. It says, if you're tired, worn out, and burn out, and I'm telling you, that's where so many people are if they're trying to experience the kingdom by force. They're trying to fight hard enough, pray hard enough, bind hard enough, loose hard enough, believe hard enough to get the kingdom to work for them, then that's where they are. So it says, all of you who are labor and are heavy laden, I'm going to give you rest. And then he tells them how he's going to give them rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Now, when we think about a yoke, we just think about the yoke that the oxen wore, and there's a lot of good symbology there that two oxen yoke up together and they have to get in step together. There's nothing wrong with that, but that is really not what he's referring to here. You see, when a Jewish teacher taught or mentioned the yoke, he was talking about the yoke of his doctrine, the yoke of his philosophy of the kingdom, if you will. And so Jesus said, now, you've got these other people, and their yoke, their doctrine, their philosophy is, we have got to take this by force. In other words, as if we got to go get it because God doesn't want us to have it, and we got to force it from him by our faith, by our works, by our deeds, or whatever. But he says, I've got a different doctrine. And he says, if you'll take my doctrine, my philosophy of the kingdom upon you. But then he says something really interesting, and learn of me, or learn from me. You see, I'm going to tell you something. You can't learn from the information in the epistles what you can learn from a personal relationship with Jesus. A person that learns to walk with him and surrenders to him as Lord and surrenders their opinion. And when they realize that their opinion contradicts what he teaches, then they joyfully surrender their opinion and accept the opinion of their Lord. He says, if you'll learn from me, he says, I'm gentle and I'm lowly in heart. In other words, I'm not fighting, I'm not forcing, I'm not using violence. This is all happening in a very, very peaceful way. He says, then you will find rest for your soul. And that's what we want. You know, the Bible says that the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. You're talking about a picture of rest. Man, that is a picture of rest. He goes on to say, for my yoke, my doctrine, my philosophy of the kingdom is easy, and my burden is light. Oh, man alive. That is so incredibly phenomenal. So Jesus was bringing about a revolution that to this day, not many people grasp, because the kingdom is a mystery. And he spoke the mystery of the kingdom in parables. And parables can only be learned by people who have a heart for them. Parables can only be understood by those who are operating within the laws of the kingdom. You know, that's an interesting thing, by the way, about a Hebrew language. You know, in English, when you write, you write one letter at a time, and a letter makes a word, and then a word makes a phrase, and a series of phrases make a sentence. And you read the whole sentence, and then that sentence gives you the understanding of what all of those words together are supposed to mean. But you know, it's totally different in Hebrew thought. In Hebrew thought, you have to have the concept before you can really understand what the written word means. I'll tell you, it's just that way in the mystery of the kingdom. Because in the mystery of the kingdom, there has to be a heart that is surrendered to and submitted to Jesus as Lord before you can read these parables of the kingdom and them even make sense to you. You have to have a heart for it. And it's not that you have to have the intellectual mind for it. You have to have the heart. You have to have the attitude by operating one of the first laws of the kingdom, and that is the kingdom has a king, and we surrender as citizens of the kingdom to his lordship. Now, in the parables of the kingdom, we really twist up these concepts, and it sounds so much like works and sounds so much like legalism, because like all truth, the parables of the kingdom are filled with paradoxes. Remember, the parables of the kingdom are aimed more at your heart. They're aimed more at helping you with concepts. They're not like the epistles, where the epistles are giving you information to help you understand those concepts. The parables are concepts that can only be grasped with the heart. And any truth that is grasped with the heart is going to be grasped within a paradox, within all of these seeming contradictions. But they're not contradictions. They're basically a continuum of reality, of how truth and reality works. Now, one of the interesting things you want to realize about the kingdom, you see, you cannot take the kingdom by force. The kingdom only comes as an inheritance. Now, just the fact that God used the word inheritance presents all kinds of contradictions. You know, an inheritance is something that you receive from someone else. It's something that someone else worked for. It's something that someone else obtained. And they leave it to you, and you receive it. You didn't work for it. You didn't earn it. But the paradox of an inheritance is this. You can't earn it, but there can be conditions. Now, you see, to the mind of the typical Western cause and effect linear thinker, that doesn't make sense. If there are conditions, then it must be legalism. Nope, not legalism. Jesus was not a legalist. Everything that Jesus did for us is a finished work on his part. And everything that he did for us, we have the opportunity to participate in it when we believe it in our heart. That's what faith is. Faith is to believe something in your heart and be immovable about it, not because you're tenacious, not because you've got willpower, but because you see and perceive and choose it to be your reality. So there's a paradox in the fact that everything is freely given, but that doesn't necessarily mean we're experiencing it. And the conditions of the kingdom are not conditions that make us earn something or earn the inheritance, but the conditions or the laws that rule the kingdom are the laws that are a continuum of our heart and affect our heart and affect our heart's capacity to receive. Now remember, the word receive means to take hold of and bring it to yourself. So We have an inheritance that we can receive. And this inheritance is often referred to as the kingdom. Now, in the parables of the kingdom, and we've talked about this already, Jesus taught us all kinds of attitudes that facilitate and make it possible for us to receive the provision, the resources within the kingdom. Now, I hope this isn't getting too complicated for you. But you see, again, there's the warring person, the person who says, I'm going to go in here by faith. I'm going to force God to give me the inheritance. I'm going to go in here. I'm going to make all of this stuff happen. Then there's the person that says, well, listen, if God gave it to me, then it's just mine. I'm just going to sit here and it's just automatically mine because I'm a child of God. Well, you are a child of God. It is yours. But that does not mean that your heart has taken a hold of it and brought it unto yourself, unto your own experience, made it real in your life. Every believer in the world has the life of God. In other words, the healing power of God in them. But believers die and die prematurely every single day. Every believer in the world has the joy of the Lord inside of them. But many believers struggle every single day with depression, fear, anxiety, loneliness, stress, all of these negative emotions that everybody else struggles from. Every believer in the world has within them everything they need to experience in this realm, in this life, all of the provisions of the kingdom. You say, well, then why doesn't it happen? Well, see, it doesn't happen because there are laws to the kingdom. And these laws are not laws that cause you to earn. You see, the only thing that God wants in this relationship, and you know, he's the one that, you know, he's the one that made up all the rules. He is sovereign. Not sovereign in that he can change his mind anytime he wants to. It's sovereign in that he made the rules. He determined how the kingdom worked. And this all works through a relationship. You notice Jesus didn't say, come and just learn my doctrine and I'll give you rest to you. So he said, get my doctrine, but learn of me. Connect with me personally. How many thousands of times have I said it on this broadcast? Jesus said, I've come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. And then he said, and this is life, to know God and Jesus Christ whom he has sent. See, all of this is experienced in this knowing. And knowing and connecting with God around the laws of the kingdom can only happen when we trust in the love and the character and the nature of God. And when we trust in the love and the character and the nature of God, you know, then the Holy Spirit is able to work in us. The Holy Spirit is able to bring us to that place of participating in this inheritance that we have. You know, I was walking the other morning. You know, I walk my dog every morning, and on the mornings that he's calm and just does his own thing and minds really, really well, then my mind is just free to worship and pray. And on the other mornings, I'm distracted because I'm having to keep him from getting hurt and that sort of thing. And so I just remember the other morning, I was walking along praying, and I had some real bad numbers going on in some areas of my health and some tests that I take. And I remember that morning just praying, connecting with God. It was no different than any way I'd ever prayed before. There was no magic formula for it. But there was something that happened in my heart connection that morning. And, you know, and then I come home, I do all these medical tests again, and that day the numbers came out perfect. They came out just like they were supposed to. Now, you know, I would love to tell you that I know all the inner workings of how all this stuff happens. I know the general principles of how all this stuff happens. But I'm going to tell you something. Those general principles only work within the boundaries of an intimate relationship where I am connecting with God for myself, and by His grace working in me, the capacity to move into those realms, the capacity to experience those things comes alive inside. That's what grace is. Grace makes us able, you know, grace gives us the capacity, gives us the strength, you know, to experience all that God is, all that God has. And see, this gets beyond just a bunch of obeying rules. And that's why in the parables of the kingdom, we learn all about these attitudes, these servant attitudes, these attitudes of expectancy, these attitudes of understanding how absolute the laws of the kingdom are. See, God wants us to know that these laws of health and healing, all these, they're absolute, just like they would be in any kingdom. There's a wealth of riches in all of these parables. Just like in the parable of the sower and the seed, we learn the one ultimate secret to influencing our heart with the truth in the parable of the sower and seed. Yet, most people are over peeling through the epistles looking for some intellectual formula to unlock what they need from in order to receive them. But yet, the parable of the sower and seed spells it out completely. Man, I want you to understand something about an inheritance. I don't want to make you afraid, but I do want to make you responsible, because one of the primary golden threads that is woven through all of the parables, or nearly all of the parables, is the concept of personal responsibility. Now, I want you to know, everything in our government, everything in our school system, everything in our value, the values and the political correctness and all of the hype that's being shoved down your throat every single day in the news media and psychology and psychiatry and even a lot of church counseling today, all seeks to make you a victim of society, a victim of somebody else, in that everybody else is responsible for where you are. Everybody else is responsible for how you're suffering, what's going wrong in your life. But you know something? All through all the parables of the kingdom, Jesus teaches that the first key to freedom is personal responsibility. And if you don't accept personal responsibility, then you violated one of the foundational laws of the kingdom, because it's one of the most predominant messages in the parables. Personal responsibility doesn't mean I have to make this happen, but it means I'm responsible for my choices. I'm responsible for my reactions. I am responsible for what I will believe and not believe. I'm responsible for my faith. I'm responsible for my doubt. And in this thing of the inheritance, I am responsible to interact with a living God that has already freely given me all things. And in that intimate interaction, in that knowing, coming to know, and that word know means to experience God with all the capacities that I have to experience, I am going to discover how, in that situation that I'm in at that moment, not the way I did it 20 years ago, not the way I did it 5 years ago, not the way I did it yesterday, but I'm going to discover in that moment how to follow God into the complete fullness of His promise for my situation. And see, that's the thing. He's our King. He's our Shepherd. He's trying to lead us. We can't participate in anything where we won't go with Him. So Jesus tells us this. He says, "Who do you say that I am?" Peter says, "Well, you're Christ. You know, we know who you are." And He says, I'm giving to you the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound. Whatever you loose shall be loosed." Jesus is saying that out of this intimate connection with Him as Lord, which is the first law of the kingdom, out of this intimate connection with Him as Lord, we receive the keys of the kingdom. We receive the truths that need to operate in our heart to open the doors that bring about blessing. You know, honestly, it's as if all of the doors can only be unlocked from our side They only have knobs from our side because Jesus has already done his part. And he shows us how to pass through every door to meet the specific need that we're faced with right at this moment. Listen, come back and join me for my mentoring moment. I want to share some more with you about this. The kingdom of God is all about righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. You know, righteousness is when life is as it should be. Living in the kingdom means life's going to be the way it's supposed to be. And because life is the way it's supposed to be, you're going to have peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. I want to tell you what, you want to have this 6-CD series. You want to understand the laws of the kingdom. You want to understand how to bring all of your doctrine together under the gospel of the kingdom. It's going to change everything about your life. Remember, the kingdom of God's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. If we are functioning in the kingdom realm, and remember, you can be saved but not experiencing the kingdom within, the rule of the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart. You can be saved but not be experiencing the resources that Jesus has made available to you through his death, burial, and resurrection. It doesn't mean he's taken them away from you. It doesn't mean he's cut you off. It means that whatever is going on inside of you is preventing you from being able to take hold of them and bring them to yourself. So, you know, don't get hung up in the doctrine. I tell you, so many people want to fight with the doctrine and they want to say, well, you know, God loves me and everything's all right just because I'm a Christian. You know, today I buried my nephew. He was a believer. He knew Jesus, but he had problems in his life that he didn't try to resolve by making godly decisions, and it ultimately cost him his life. I see, you know, I pastored for nearly 40 years. I buried hundreds of people that were saved, that loved and cared about God, but they didn't function in the kingdom realm. Jesus was really not Lord over their decision-making processes. The Word of God was not their basis for how they would make decisions and handle their emotions. You know, it gets real simple. If the kingdom of God's righteousness, peace, and joy, and the word righteousness means as it should be, then you have to ask yourself, is my life as it should be? Are my morals as they should be? Are my emotions as they should be? Are my resources as they should be? Is my, you know, is everything as it should be? If it's not, then all you can say is, I may be born again, but for whatever reason, I am not taking hold of the kingdom of God. If I am, I will be living in peace and joy, because peace and joy are the natural overflow of a life that is as it should be. Now, this is not works. This is not you trying to earn something. This is just the thermometer whereby you determine if life's as it should be. If life is not as it should be, you seek God personally and intimately, and you discover by the Holy Spirit how to follow God, and it'll always be consistent with his word, and it'll always end up in kingdom living.
Thanks for listening to the weekly Impact Ministries World Changers podcast with Dr. Jim Richards. If you like what you've just heard, we encourage you to share our web address, www.impactministries.com, with friends and colleagues. Be sure to check out the resources section of our website for previous podcasts, videos, and our monthly Impact magazine. Join us next week for another great message by Dr. Jim Richards.